This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
9:09 now. Wait, Jordan Fiegel's telling me something in my ear. What is it? The NFL owners have now approved changes to the league's instant replay. I'm repeating it as he tells me. They're going to make it retroactive to go back to the 2018 season and include missed pass interference calls. And that means that the Saints and the Rams will replay the 2018 NFC Championship game that was held in January of 2019. But in order to make it fair, they're going to have to use the same players. So Drew Brees is going to have to come out of retirement, and both rosters will have to be exactly the same. Jordan, is that what you're telling me? That sounds like that movie The Best of Times with Kurt Russell and Robin Williams, where they go back and replay that high school game. Well, that's indeed interesting. Oh, wait a minute. It's April Fool's Day. Jeff Nowak joins us now, WWL Saints sideline reporter. How you doing, Jeff?
You had me in the first half.
Did I? Did I really?
No kidding. Well, I mean, part of it's true. They have expanded replay a little bit.
Let's talk about what's happened so far since we did start with that. First of all, how you doing, all right?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good. A pleasure to talk to you as always. Tell me about what the NFL owners have approved so far, what changes we're going to see in next season.
Yeah, so basically the owners' meetings are going on right now, and they always vote on all these proposed rule changes. So there's usually a dozen or so teams submit, hey, I want this rule changed. And, if it gets through that final process, then they vote on them. The Saints actually don't have any submitted this year. There's always certain teams that tend to be in on this. The Lions, for whatever reason, always have a bunch. But, yeah, so far, the only rule changes that have gone through, as far as I understand, are the rules are changing now to basically turn the playoff overtime rules into regular season overtime rules, in that both teams will be allowed to possess the ball. There's been a lot of changes over the years. If you go back to the Super Bowl, the same Super Bowl, it was, if you kick a field goal on your opening possession, game's over. Mm-hmm. They changed that a few years later so that if you kick a field goal, the other team got a chance to score a touchdown. But if you score a touchdown, the game's over. Now, even if you score a touchdown, the other team still gets the ball and the chance to at least rebut that. And then it would become the first team that scores, which, I think if you're a team that's ever been on the side of, we go into overtime and the offense never gets to touch the ball, I think you would support that rule change.
But wait, let me jump in for a second, because I was confused about there being a difference between playoffs and regular season overtime, the difference being that there can be a tie in regular season, but not that was the difference, or what did they change?
There were a few differences. One being, that if the first overtime period ended, then it would go as a tie, which I think you just don't want to get into a situation where you're playing a second football game because neither offense can score, and then you get into a situation with injuries. But you obviously can't have a tie in the playoffs. So in the playoffs, it would just go on until somebody wins. So that's still going to be the case. You can still have a game end in a tie. They did try to get it to be 15 minutes instead of 10, but that got kind of pushed back and amended down to 10 so that they could get it to pass. So the real change is both teams get a chance to get the ball. The other thing that's been changed is they've expanded the replay assist, which we've seen used in situations. I need to kind of look in to see all of the definitions of this rule and what's allowed to be looked at and what's not. But over the last few years, you've seen, a ball's been called complete. And then on the replay, you can clearly see that it hit the ground rather than forcing the other team to throw a challenge flag and have a 5-minute review. they say, oh, replay assist has overturned that to an incompletion. Like, we've seen that. Mm-hmm. They've now added the ability to pick up flags in that system. So if there's a pass interference that is very clear that, hey, that guy didn't touch him, he tripped over his own feet, he went down, they could pick up that flag. They can't add a flag. So that's the difference. Now, Saints fans will be like, wow, what if this existed in 2019, like you were talking about? Mm-hmm. It actually wouldn't have changed anything, because you cannot go back and add a flag where there was not a flag. But kind of like the NBA's rule, like, you can't review something and add a foul. You can't go back on the NFL and say, well, it was clearly pass interference, but it wasn't called, so you can add it. That's not how it works.
Somebody texted in about electronic tracking for ball placement. Have there been any suggestions at all that they're looking at to try to make the game? See, because one thing I would like to see changed is it's obviously a missed call or a bad call, and the other team hurries up and snaps the ball. That, to me, is just blatant cheating, because it's like, okay, well, we know it wasn't a catch, so we're going to go ahead and hurry up and snap the ball before the right thing can happen. And that, to me, sets a bad example for everybody. Thoughts?
I mean, that's just kind of, that's the rule, right? But at the same time, like, a lot of times, like, hey, we're not sure if that was a catch. It's not like, oh, it's definitely not a catch. You just don't want to run the risk. So you run a quick play.
Jeffrey? You know, I think that's the idea. Jeffrey, what's your middle name? What's your middle name?
Douglas. Actually.
Jeffrey, yeah. Douglas, come along now. Come on now. Let's be honest. Don't tell me. Don't feed that stuff to me, mister. Your father may buy it, but I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to believe that they don't know that they're just rushing, right? Because just in case. Come on, man.
Well, they know they don't want it to get looked at. That doesn't mean that it was definitely. Like,
it's
sometimes
cheating.
You'll see it and like, oh,
it's
it was a
blatant
catch anyway.
Cheating, and they know it is.
Well, but here's the thing. That's what the replay assist is supposed to help with, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times teams won't have the amount of time necessary to get a good replay, especially if you're on the road. Like, this is something I figured out standing on the sideline of games. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll watch it on TV, and they're showing you the replay on TV 10 times by the time that the coach is throwing the flag. But when you're standing on the sidelines, especially on the road, they're not showing you those replays. Like, stadiums understand that the coach on the sideline would very much like to see that replay with his own eyes before throwing that challenge flag. So they're not showing it. At least not until, you know, maybe after it's too late. So that's where the replay assist comes in of, like, the coach has to hear from upstairs watching it on TV, like, oh, they just showed it. Okay, we got it. But a lot of times it doesn't have enough time to happen. So the replay assist kind of takes away that gamesmanship, which I think would be the word I would use as opposed to cheating, would be gamesmanship.
Kind of
takes
right.
away that
sure.
opportunity. If it's obvious.
But now I'm all for, look, I play golf, I'm all for the rules. Sometimes the rules help you. Sometimes it takes a tree out of play if you're on a cart path. Sometimes it puts a tree in play. I'm all for that. But this just seems like, you know, you're trying to hurry up and get this off before they notice you did something wrong. But along those lines, I always thought, too, since we're having a conversation here, that it was crazy that you only get so many challenges as a coach, even if you're right. It seems to me, as long as you're correcting the officials, if the goal is to get it right, I don't see how you, maybe after one or two wrong challenges, you lose them, but you should be able to keep going forever if you're right and challenging the officials. Am I wrong or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of like, I think there's an officials lobby that comes into play at some point being like, can we not? Because if we're screwing up constantly, we don't want it to be pointed out.
But, I mean,
constantly.
It's like...
No, I agree with you.
You corrected me four... I screwed up four times. Calls. Right, I screwed up four times. You've called me out four times, but you can't do it anymore. Well, that would be the reason I should be able to do it more, because you're screwing this thing up.
Exactly. Like, if the calls were wrong, then why do I lose the ability to point it out again? I agree with that 100%. I think the same thing's true in the NBA, but to an extent, like, I understand in the NBA, because there's kind of this, if you've ever played basketball, there's kind of this understanding. It's like, well, we're not going to call the foul because you clearly fouled him and it went off like the tip of his fingers. So, okay, well, we're just going to give them the ball and we're not going to deal with the foul. But then you challenge, and then suddenly it's like, well, we can't call the foul, but it's definitely out of bounds on them. That doesn't really exist in football. Either you did it or you didn't.
I don't know how in the NBA, and now we're really getting off, but I don't know how they call a foul in the NBA. Do you? Because they have their hands all over each other constantly. I don't understand.
It's tough.
I don't get it.
But yeah.
So what's likely to pass? I know Tim told me that they get to wear alternative uniforms 4 years for Tim's the fashion police. He keeps me updated on that. But is there anything substantial likely to change? Tush push. Are they going to do away with that or not?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big one on the docket right now. Every year one team or another tries to ban the tush push. I think it's going to get banned eventually. I don't know if it's going to be this year. The issue they're going to run into is, in most cases, at least for the NFL, they try to hedge on the idea of like, okay, we're going to change rules when it's a safety issue. So players are getting hurt during this play, so we're going to change the kickoff, for example. Like, players were getting hurt, so they tried to find a way to keep the kickoff in the game while tamping down on the injuries. And that's what Darren Rizzi's dynamic kickoff thing, it actually did that, so they're going to keep it. Now, the tush push, it really doesn't – like, injuries are really not a part of it. You don't really see guys getting injured. I think the argument that coaches would make is, like, the longer this goes on, the more kind of aggressive strategies defenses are going to take, and that you might see situations like we saw in the playoffs where guys start diving over the line, guys are doing whatever they can. I think at the end of the day, it's going to end up getting banned because it has the cardinal sin of being boring. It is a boring football play, and it is not a play that the NFL wants games to come down to, right? The NFL doesn't want a rugby match breaking out in the middle of an NFL football game.
Right.
And the thing is, like, yeah, the Eagles are just way better at it than everybody else. But we've seen over the last few years other teams start to get better at it. And when you have the quarterback and the center who can do it, it's just common sense. Hey, anytime I'm in a short yardage scenario, I'm going to do this. And it's going to, and over time, it's going to become, hey, there's eight teams in the league that do this constantly. And then it's going to be half the league. And then suddenly, if you're not running this play, then you are wasting an opportunity. So does the NFL want a game to turn into that? Does the NFL want every short yardage scenario to be this, like, 6 inches in a cloud of dust thing that's basically impossible to stop? No. So, you know, it's going to happen, and people are going to be like, well, that doesn't make any sense. But rule changes to maintain the entertainment value of a game have existed as long as the games have existed. You see, you know, in baseball, why do you think they have a pitch clock now? Mm-hmm. That's not a safety issue. That's an entertainment value issue. They banned shifts because it was kind of boring to watch these great hitters hit screaming line drives into the side of the infield with five fielders. That's not fun to watch, right? I want to see base hits. I want to see action. In the NBA, they banned transition take fouls because, hey, I want to see dunks. I want to see breakaway dunks. That's exciting. In the NFL, why do you think defensive holding exists, right? Why do you think they've added all of these rules to make it impossible to cover receivers? Because it's more fun to watch a receiver catch the ball and run down the field than it is to watch, you know, 10 incomplete passes in a row. So I think at the end of the day, we're going to come down to this point that they're going to hedge it on injuries. But it's going to come down to, hey, I just want to watch a football game where it does not come down to this every drive.
You, my friend, we got to go. You are very talented, and I love talking to you. But I do remember during the Kansas City game, Travis Kelce running about as fast and as hard as he could into the back of Patrick Mahomes trying to get him into the end zone. And I'm watching this thinking, eventually, this is going to lead to somebody getting hurt, don't you think?
It'll only take one high-profile quarterback getting hurt in that scenario for it to, you know, become a injury issue. But the numbers will never support it. Like, when you look at the percentage of players injured on an average NFL play versus the percentage of players injured on this specific NFL play, it's never going to be, well, hey, okay, this is a problem play like the kickoff was. But, no, I mean, yeah, Josh Allen and the Bills have been running it a lot. If suddenly Josh Allen, you know, shatters his ankle because someone steps on it, or he gets pushed and, like, he hyperextends his neck because he's in a bad situation and someone's pushing him from behind, then it'll become a problem. It's just a question of whether the NFL lets it get to that point or just kind of nips it in the bud, which I would prefer they did, because it's not a fun play to watch. Like, I don't want to watch it. Mm-hmm. I get it. They're good at it. It's within the rules. But, again, the rules exist until the rules don't exist. Like, all you have to do is say, hey, you're not allowed to push players from behind. in these situations. That's all you have to do.
When you're at home watching it, are you going, no, are you not? That's how I watch it. And you're right. It's like a scrum. That was a point well made. It is like a scrum in rugby. That's what you're looking at, basically. Right?
Right. It would be like saying, hey, the most exciting play is like these backward lateral plays. Like, no, that's rugby. If you want to watch these backward lateral schoolyard plays, go watch a rugby game. That's what it is. I don't know. I think that at the end of the day, the NFL game is more fun when you're playing NFL football and not, you know, this weird kind of, hey, we're really good at this, so we're going to do it. Like, I had someone say, hey, it's a play that only happens 2 to 3 times a game. It's like, no, you're confusing that with a sneak. I have watched the Eagles run this play 2 to 3 times on individual drives. The playoffs against Washington, they actually stopped it once. And then their response was, we're going to do hard counts because the only way you can stop this is to jump the snap. So we're going to do hard counts. And then they end up getting 5 offsides penalties in a row to the point that the ref's like, hey, if you do that again, we're just going to give them the touchdown. Like, that's a playoff game. That's not what you want a playoff game to come down to. And it's just become ridiculous.
What do you think about being able to pick up a quarterback and use him like a battering ram like they used to do in the Flintstones? Kind of like that. What do you think, huh?
Yeah, like in Lord of the Rings where they had like the big thing where they knocked it against the door a bunch of times until it breaks.
Yeah,
you know,
battering ram. They call it the old battering ram. The Rams. Sean McVay should create that play and call it the battering ram. We're on to something, Jeff. Tell me about the
podcast. On the roster where that's his only job is to come in and get knocked against the line.
Hardhead McMahon, that's what you can call him. Look, if you liked listening to Jeff just now, as I do, tell him about the podcast, Jeff, with you and Steve.
Yeah, Inside Black and Gold. We're going to record an episode probably later today talking about Kellen Moore, what he had to say at the owners' meetings. He talked for about a half hour. We haven't really gotten into it, but didn't really say a ton, but we'll get into what he had to say. Talked about they're going to have training camp in Metairie this year. Yay, sweating. I do still think they're going to go out to have joint practices somewhere. Hey, maybe in Irvine again. Who knows? But, yeah, we're going to get into a lot of that. We're going to talk about just general stuff from the offseason, you know, mock drafts, all that good stuff. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find it on YouTube at WWL Sports. A lot of good stuff on there. So check it out.
I didn't bring it up because I didn't want to steal your podcast thunder. Thank you, Jeff. Pleasure as always. Jeffrey Douglas Nowak. Jordan tweeted me, Jeff, no fun league, Nowak, apparently because he's a Jalen Hurts fan. He loves the Tush Push. Thank you, Jeff. 9:25, we come back. We'll talk about Americans being unhappy as it relates or unhappier than the rest of the world. We'll talk about some keys to happiness when we return on WWL.